Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Coming up on the Holderness Family Podcast, I thought this was going to be my kind of guest.
Go Gators!
But it turns out it's my kind of guest.
To me, the female is by far the stronger sex.
We talk about doggy drama.
It got just like downright dangerous. So after like a lot of tears, we had to rehome her. And daughter drama.
I love my daughter, but right now I just don't like her.
With one of the world's most renowned animal experts. Here we go. Hey, I'm Penn Holderness.
And I'm Kim Holderness.
And this is the Holderness Family Podcast. Thank you for stopping by and pressing the download button. I sound so chipper.
You sound super chipper.
I'm forcing it because I'm kind of in a weird mood this week.
Yeah, he's been in a weird mood. We'll get to that. But first, if I can ask you just a couple favors. If you could hit subscribe on that podcast thing app phone.
The podcast thing app phone.
Yes. It helps people find us. So if you hit subscribe, it just works in this magic algorithm thing. Okay. The other thing, which I'm so excited about.
This is exciting. And Max, you got to jump in on this.
Okay. I'm here.
Max is part of this.
Max, yes. We are doing a live podcast.
Yes.
Yes. At December 5th. Here in Raleigh, North Carolina. The tickets, we'll put them in the description of the show notes of this podcast. It's online in our podcast group and on our Facebook page. Come see us. It's limited seating, but there's going to be music. There's going to be discussion with
There's a bar.
Well, we've had the question asked, like, my 10-year-old loves you and listens to the podcast. Can you come? It's in the evening. It's in a bar, which so you do you. I mean,
right.
Nothing explicit is going to happen. Our pastor is going to be on stage. He's our marriage counselor.
Very true.
So he's going to talk. So nothing. It's not going to be inappropriate. But you decide if you want to bring. Like your kid to a bar. Like we've brought our kids
to bars.
It's
a really
before,
cool location.
Maybe
it's
not.
Part of downtown Raleigh.
It's a great location, but you decide on that. We're probably going to have some marriage talk. We will do a family show at some point, probably next year.
But this one is about getting through the holidays or even thriving in the holidays with your spouse.
And very stressful times, like tips and tricks during stressful times. And then those just going to be music and fun times.
Yeah, Pet, are you going to sing?
For sure.
Awesome. Yes.
I don't know if I'm going to do something ahead of time or if I'm going to write something while I'm there or maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah, just it'll be a fun
but
time.
But there'll be music
but
for
come
sure.
See us December 5th. We're in Raleigh, North Carolina. We would love to see you.
We also are probably going to take questions from the audience, but maybe if there's some great questions from the fans that are not there and they want to submit them, we could always have them locked and loaded for people that aren't there.
Yes. Yeah.
I like it, Max.
I like it.
Max just did the thing where he
was like, I don't know.
Should I not have talked?
Edit me out.
And then he gave the edit me outside. It's okay, dude. You have good ideas.
Your ideas matter.
That was
a
good idea. I don't know if it was appropriate for this time, Max. No, I'm kidding. It was fine. It was great.
Yes, sir.
Max, that's a great idea. We're going to take questions from our universe.
Audience, don't let me down. You better have good questions now.
Anyway.
Max is going to be the one who's going to be presenting the questions. I'm very excited about that. He does a very good
very
job.
Very good, Phil Donahue.
Good job, Max.
Okay.
So today, be more sure of yourself, Max.
Today's show, let's get into it, is a really good one. I will say I had a big – I'm very protective of this podcast and the things we talk about because Penn would be like, you know what we should talk about? We should talk about there was a cat on the football field at the Monday Night Football game and how that was funny. I'm like, that's not a
podcast.
I'm
still waiting for permission to do the Flat Earthers podcast, by
no,
the way.
No, it's not happening. Okay. And so he gets very like, you know what we should do? We should, and I'm like, no, that's not an entire podcast. So he's like, there's this zoologist that I'm obsessed with. I'm like, I don't understand how that has anything to do with like being a better person, but being a married person. But hey, let's do it. And I was very happy. He's very great.
Isn't he awesome?
He's great. And how he relates the animal kingdom to my life was expert level.
Well, and also for me, I fanboy him because he's on this radio show I listen to all the time. And you're about to get to a clip of a few minutes ago when it started. And listen to the difference in my voice. I was kind of bummed out. Like I've been in like
he's been in a funk. Yes.
Yeah. And I think Ron fixed it because he just makes me happy. So let's go to that part. So I got to start with this, honey. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great.
So listen, I do you remember me telling you yesterday that I was feeling like kind of bummed? Like I was kind of bummed out. Like
yeah,
it's
an oddly non-golden retriever day for you.
Like it's like my mojo was gone or my passion. It happens to me, honestly, maybe once every 6 months. I'm usually like a golden retriever sniffing crotches.
Me every 6 days, I'm like questioning my existence, but you every 6 months, yes.
Yeah, and so... the passion just for everything wasn't quite what it normally is. And so I'm really excited that we have this guest that we have today. So I don't – like when I listen to the radio, I always listen to this show on ESPN called the Dan Le Batard Show.
Uh-huh.
You call it sports shouting.
It's sports shouting
That's
show.
Because most of sports is just shouting. But when I listen to it, there's this guy who comes on the show every week. His name is Ron McGill, and he's the most passionate, most positive person I've ever heard on the radio. He's been but he's, and all of his passion is geared toward the animal kingdom. And so we have animal issues that we need to talk to him about. We are animals. We want to be better animals, and he's going to get my mojo back up. I'm very excited.
Oh wow, that's a lot of pressure for Ron.
Yeah, right. So Ron, let me give you a quick biography, and so he's. We know him through a mutual friend. Let's start with that. That's the only that's how we got him on the show. He's a fellow Florida Gator.
Go Gators.
There he is. Got to interject there. But he started out as a zookeeper like 40 years ago at the Miami Zoo, and now he basically runs the Miami Zoo, and he is
You own it. Let's just say
I don't own it.
He's a director of communications there.
Yeah, you own it.
He's very well known with his stints on Dan Le Batard. He's got 5 Emmys for documentaries he's done. He's spent his entire life trying to promote the protection and education of animals. And so...
Of animals or about animals?
The protection of animals and the education about animals. Gotcha. Did I mix up my prepositions?
It's okay.
I'm really nervous, so let's just get to it. Ron is obviously listening to all of this. Ron, thank you so much for joining us.
Welcome, Ron.
Oh, thank you, guys. What a pleasure it is to join you here today. Yeah, I don't run the zoo.
You
I talk
own it.
About the people
you
talk
own
about
it.
The zoo. That's what I do.
I just say you own it. That's what I'm going to tell people.
Okay. Actually, the taxpayers of South Florida own it.
Okay,
majority
better,
shareholder.
Better. Yes.
We'll just go with that.
There you go.
So we've got a bunch of directions we want to go in. First of all, Ron, and we'll get to this later, Kim and I are taking our family to Africa next summer, and we want to get your advice on some of that, and because I know you've spent a lot of time on the dark continent.
I just got back from my 55th trip to Africa.
Stop.
I was filming the second season of my television show, and I will tell you that Africa is going to change your life. It is one of those places that when you go there, it's intoxicating. It gets in your blood. It's something that will bring you back. I promise you won't only go once. No matter what you have to do, you'll get back. If you have to sell your house, you have to sell your car, whatever, you're going to raise the money to go back because that place is magic.
It is
like a magnet that brings you in and will change your life. And I know you said you're going with the family, but I got to tell you, Penn, in the evenings, nothing is more romantic than Africa.
Really?
I'm telling you right now, you're going to live the dream. She's going to, I'm sure she's already an amazing woman, but this is going to this is going to bring in this new injection of amazingness into her that is going to make you want to go back to Africa even sooner. That's what it is. Hey, it's the kind of thing, what? When you're laying down next to her and all of a sudden outside you hear, you think I'm making this up. Let me tell you something. My wife and I, we're over 31 years married now. She's the goddess of my life, okay? But let me tell you, we come from opposite ends of the spectrum. I'm the son of a Cuban immigrant, a gentleman who is the smartest man I ever knew, but he only had a formal education of about third grade. Grew up, in a small apartment in New York City, then moved down here to Florida and just kind of worked on a little ranch with him, raising horses and kind of keeping the ranch going. My wife, on the other hand, grew up in Pacific Palisades, California, went to school in Italy and Sweden, and comes from a very diplomatic, aristocratic family. So when we met, we were like from opposites, right? And I said, she wants to go to Italy and look at all the art and all these people that I can't even pronounce their names. And I told her, I said, listen, honey, I got to take you to Africa. And she looked at me like I had a third eye. She goes, what? You think I'm going to go to Africa? No. The bugs, the dust, having to squat behind bushes to go to the bathroom. I'm not doing that stuff, okay? This is my wife. I said, honey, please, let me just take you once. Let me take you once. Make a long story short, if you ask my wife what her favorite place in the world to go into now, it's Africa. I've taken her there a dozen times already, and every time I take her, she rocks my world.
Okay.
We're going to get separate tents, I guess, from the kids now. That's what we have to. What is that?
Oh, you definitely. You'll be able to get some alone time because the kids, they get hooked up with the rangers and the guides and the parks people there. And they'll get so involved with the animals. They won't even believe you exist at night. They're going to want to do all kinds of fun games and stuff like that. It's going to be perfect for you guys.
We are really. So it's part mission trip and then part like vacation. So we actually, and the irony is you're talking about more. Mortgaging a house, we're practically having to mortgage the house to go to volunteer to dig a well. So, like, we're volunteering and sleeping in tents.
But that's good karma that you're doing that. That's fantastic. Yes. Congratulations,
yes.
You guys are doing
it.
It is
our most expensive trip we've ever taken, and we're sleeping in a tent and digging wells. But we are really, really, really excited.
What is the ohm?
Yeah, what's the ohm?
What's the noise? You just made
that's, that's the lions. They call outside your tent. You can hear them. You can hear that call from over 5 miles away.
Okay, as long as they're five miles away.
They connect with each other. But the first time my wife heard it, she jumped. She goes, what is that? I just looked at her. I go, that's me, honey.
See, that's a good move. So here's that's your marriage. You ready for our marriage? We're gonna act this out. Ready?
What the heck is that?
Oh, that's just me, baby.
Okay, stop it then. I need to sleep. Are you snoring? Did you bring your snore guard?
No, honey, we're in Africa. No. Let's feel the rhythm. That like don't ignore the smell of feces. It's okay. That's us, Ron. I want you to prove us wrong. I can't wait to be proven wrong.
Okay, you're going to call me back and you're going to say, Ron, you were right, man. It's magic. It is magic.
I am really excited. I am excited.
So
you will be.
Ron, I know you're qualified to talk about all animals, but can you talk a little bit about dogs with us? Are you comfortable with that?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So we just got this new puppy and we absolutely love her. Her name is Sunny and she is a golden retriever because I am a golden retriever. And
that's one of the greatest breeds of dogs in the world. Those and yellow labs, any kind of Labrador for that matter, retrievers and Labradors are the most social, wonderful family dogs you can find.
And we're so happy about her, but this is 6 months after some pretty serious heartbreak in our family. And Kim, do you want to talk about it?
Well, yeah. So we rescued our dog, our sweet dog, Ruby, and she was we did all the training. We had like four different trainers and we did all, she's a very, very obedient dog. I bet my life and every penny I will ever make in my life that she would never hurt me and my kids or my family. But she was actually very aggressive to other dogs and other people and anybody who walked into our house. And she actually bit like five different people, including my father-in-law, my niece. Like it got just like downright dangerous. So after like a lot of tears, we had to rehome her, and she's now with a woman who actually doesn't have kids and
doesn't leave her apartment.
Yeah, wanted more of a guard dog situation. So it was a very, very sad time.
But there was this like guilt and this like it's still hard for us to understand, right, honey?
Yeah.
What you need to understand is, first of all, dogs are a social animal, and they are an animal that basically can establish a hierarchy depending on the breed of dog. Now, dogs are bred for different things. They're bred for different temperaments, different characters. Some dogs are incredibly possessive and protective. And obviously those traits were in this dog. She was very loyal to you, very intelligent, but also very protective of you. And even using that term, and people say, well, that's an anthropomorphic term to say jealous. I think that term anthropomorphic is really a bad term. What it insinuates is that only humans can have emotions like love, hurt, sadness, jealousy. I think that's very self-centered of us to think that animals cannot feel those same emotions. As a matter of fact, I'll go as far to say, I know animals can feel those same emotions. And unfortunately, when you have an animal that is feeling those emotions and doesn't know the proper ways, not intelligent enough to know the proper way to behave, even though its emotions are telling it to do something that it shouldn't do, you have those types of situations. That was not a bad dog. It was a dog that had inherent genes bred into it that is to protect you and be very possessive of you and not allow another. It doesn't look at a person as a different type of person. It looks at a person as a conspecific. When dogs are raised in a family, they don't think they're a dog. They think they're a person, you see. And they look at other people as either a challenge, a threat, or whatever it may be. And that dog was just of a very strong personality that looked at that threat and a challenge. And unfortunately, in your situation, that is a chance you could not take. You did the right thing. You didn't just get rid of the dog. You found a good home for the dog. And that's something you should be commended for.
Well, thank you. It's the internet and it's 2019, so most people were kind because we had to talk about it because we make videos and there's a dog in the video one day and there's a dog not the next day, so we had to talk about it. So you're kind to say commended. It certainly doesn't feel like that.
No, you should be. Trust me. I see ugly things every day with what people do with their unwanted pets, even though they do have access to the internet and other forms of communication to try to do a better thing for their animal. Many people just take the easy and cruel way out. So you're to be commended for
well,
that.
Well, I think we did get, we got enough just comments of like, well, you should have retrained. Of course, we tried trainers and dog behaviorists and blah blah blah. But like but could we have? And we still feel extreme guilt, by the way. But could she have been
retrained,
or could she have unlearned that sort of protective instinct?
You know, I'm not here to say that would be impossible to do. I am here to tell you, though, that the dog bit more than one person. You tried your best at what you had available to you, and you made the right decision. You know, you cannot also put yourself in a position of liability where then affects your quality of life, too. You know, what happens when someone sues you? There's so many things that can happen. You looked and found a good home for that dog. You tried your best. Your pain is obviously sincere pain, and it's understood. But you can't let the trolls on the internet make you feel worse about that. Because when it comes to things like social media, especially, I call it the toilet bowl of the internet. And there's so many of these trolls that just love to condemn and to criticize whenever they can when they haven't walked in your shoes. So the fact that you're talking about it the way you talk about it, the fact that you're expressing this guilt that you have is very demonstrative that you did the right thing and you wanted what was best for the dog and what was best for your family.
Yeah. No, I mean, I tend to just take what the trolls say about me and I just internalize it and believe it to be true, Ron.
You cannot do that.
I know. I learned
that a long time ago. You know, as somewhat of a public figure, trust me, I've got those people that'll come at me and say things that are just, you know, and never show their face, never give their name or anything like that. That's what the internet provides them. It provides them this anonymity to, you know, there's an old saying that says misery loves company. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of miserable people online wanting to try to make other people be their company.
Yeah. And so we're trying real hard. So we've even had people say like, oh, you have this new dog. You're going to like, my money is you're going to screw her up too, which is awesome to hear. Love it. So
they're trying to get the exact reaction out of you that you're having right now.
No, but
honey.
I know.
Yeah.
So, we're super hard, trying hard not to screw this up because apparently it's all our fault. Anyway.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
But isn't that, honestly, I think I'm glad you said something, Ron. I'm glad you said what you said. I think you know this, right? You can tell your wife something, and it may not mean as much as if she hears it from someone that she's never met before.
Oh, absolutely. That happens to me all the time. I'll say something to my wife, and then all of a sudden she'll come back like the next day. She goes, you know, you were right what you said, because this person just told me the same thing. I go, oh, so now I'm right because that person told you the same thing.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
Very common.
Third-party, you know, credibility is an important thing.
Let's change the subject. Thank you for that. Thank you for that perspective on our old dog. What is the perfect pet for you? Do you have dogs? Are you like a lizard person? I feel like as a zookeeper,
I did have a dog. Okay. He recently passed away, and it's been very difficult for me. I got the dog basically. I've always grown up with dogs. My wife never had a dog growing up, so. You know, this was kind of a new thing for her, and I wanted to make sure my children had a dog. I knew what a difference in my life a dog made, not just for companionship and for love, but for responsibility. You know, it taught my kids to be responsible, to provide water, food, to walk the dog, to get up to do the things sometimes when they didn't want to do it, just a sense of responsibility. And I had a miniature schnauzer, and he was just the most amazing dog. You know, he didn't shed at all because he was inside the house most of the time. And it was amazing. Lived, you know, a little over 14 years. And, you know, when he passed away, I felt like I'd lost a kid. I mean, it was really difficult for me. Now, having said that, he was a special dog, too, because he had to tolerate many times I would go home with animals, because if I'm doing a television appearance or any kind of appearance with an animal early in the morning, like for the morning shows and things like that, sometimes I would bring the animal home with me the night before.
Whoa. So would you bring like a tiger home, or?
I've had young tigers.
Stop it.
When I say young, like cub, you know, young wolves, young mountain lions, you know.
Just brought it back to your house?
In the house, yes. You know, because it's easier because I'd have to give it a bottle. You know, if the thing is still in a bottle and it has to be fed every 3 or 4 hours, it's easier for me to just bring it home in a large kennel and then feed it overnight and then go off to do my presentation in the morning. So it works out a lot better that way.
And did your wife sleep soundly that night when you had the tiger in the house?
Yeah, no. Listen. None of these animals
are dangerous in that sense at all.
I'm not bringing big tigers or big lions or anything like that. These are all animals that for one reason or another had to be bottle raised. They were either rejected by their parents or their mother was not producing enough milk. So we'd have to augment the feedings with a bottle feeding. And that bottle feeding has to be given, like I said, every 3 hours or so. So it's around the clock. And that was good, too, because that prepared me for when my kids were born. You know, I mean, thankfully, my wife breastfed both of our kids. But my job was to get them. You know, when they were in the crib crying, I'd have to get them and pick them up and bring them to the bedroom so my wife can feed them and then put them back. That was the job I had. And I kind of got used to it because of that. Not, you know, it's kind of a neat thing. Good preparation for that.
I appreciate that. Yeah, that you had to live that, too.
And also,
absolutely.
It sounds to me, and this was something I wanted to bring up, it sounds to me like Ron has learned a lot from his jaunt through the animal world about being a better animal himself. And I would love to know, like, what about in your trips to Africa and in all of your experience with animals, like, what animals have taught you to be a better animal?
Elephants are probably the most amazing animals I've ever been around. You know, I just did this thing that was incredible. I was explaining in the beginning, I was filming the second season of a television show that I host on a Spanish network, and I was doing it in South Africa, and we were in this one reserve where we saw some elephants back on a ridge. And I said, no, let's do the stand-up here. I'm going to do the intro and outro here, and the elephants will be behind us in the frame. Well, the ranger that I was with, he said, listen, those elephants, I know those elephants. They were elephants that were saved from a cull. They've grown up here, and they're very inquisitive about people. They may come down to see you, just to let you know. If they do, do not panic. You know, well, make sure the film crew is safe in the vehicle. But I think knowing that you've been around animals, you have a little bit of animal sense, I think you can be okay and they'll be okay. And that's exactly what happened. I was talking and these elephants came from over 100 yards away, came down the hill and walked right up to me. They put their trunk on my shoulder, against my ear. It was one of those surreal experiences. You know, my favorite saying in the world is that life is not measured by the number of breaths that you take. It's measured by the number of times your breath is taken away. And that was certainly one of those breathtaking moments when you had four full-grown elephants next to you, alongside of you, but just curious. And elephants make a wide variety of sounds, including subsonic sounds that we cannot hear with our human ear, but you can feel it in your chest. If you're standing next to an elephant and it's vocalizing in that way, you won't hear it through your ear, but you feel the vibration in your chest. It's unbelievable. It's I'm just telling you, there's no way to describe it in words. So elephants, when you look at an elephant in the eye and realize the way it interacts with other elephants, the way they protect their calves, the way they socialize, and elephants are matriarchal, so they're run by the females. The society is run by the females,
I
think teaches me a lot right there, because I think, and I'm not saying this to be patronizing to women or anything, but you know, to me, the female is by far the stronger sex. They multitask better. They have patience. They don't try to dominate. They do things in a way that generally more successful. And I know I'm painting with a broad brush here, and there's going to be a lot of people saying, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't stereotype. You shouldn't generalize. But
I'm here for it. You keep stereotyping.
Well, I'm just telling you that is my gut honest feeling, is that there's something about the female patience and ability to do several things at one time. I can't. I have to do one thing at a time. I'm just not one of those multitaskers. And my patience is somewhat limited. My wife, on the other hand, she's amazing. I don't know how she does all the things she does. You know, she raised both of our kids. I mean, I raised them too, but I mean, when it came to homework and stuff, I said, listen, honey, I was done with homework when I left school. I can't do this stuff. And she loved it. She would do the homework. She'd do the project. She'd do all this stuff. And she has her own practice. I mean, you know, she's a medical professional. And I'm like, holy cow, how does she do all of this stuff? And it just made me realize that my mom was the same way, you know. It's just, they're just more patient that way. So I watch elephants, the way they interact with each other, the patience that they have, how they protect their kids. You know, when you hear that term, it takes a village to raise a child, I believe that comes from elephants, because it's the entire elephant family that raises the calf. It's phenomenal to watch. Them and dolphins also. A lot of the marine mammals are just so unbelievably intelligent, and the way they communicate with each other and the way they socialize, there's so much we have to learn from them.
My children, their favorite animals are, my daughter, her favorite is a dolphin because we gave her one of those experiences. And my son's favorite is a stingray. We took him to like a stingray sandbar, and he like floated over the stingray and kind of stared at him for a while. And then I looked up somewhere online that they communicate kind of like elephants in these weird like ESP, like subsonic things. And he actually believes that he was mind melding with a stingray. He's 8. I'm just telling you.
I'm not going to say it's impossible. Listen, if you look at animals, you know, there are a lot of these therapy places for autistic children, for instance, where they're non-vocal, non-verbal. You know, they show no emotion. They don't do anything. And then all of a sudden they put them in the water, and a dolphin comes up to them, and there's this burst of emotion. And the dolphin seems to know, to understand that this child needs some special attention. There's just something about animals that have just moved me beyond description, you know, my entire life. I've had experiences with them. I've seen them do things in the wild. I've seen the way they react to things. You know, you can see that even in domestic dogs, where you might see, you know, this kid just pulling on the ear of the dog and pulling on the lip, and the dog doesn't do anything. The dog realizes this is just a kid. And, you know, some adult steps too close to him, and the dog will snap at him.
Yeah.
Because it's like the dog says, you know better, damn it. the kid is a kid, but you know better. I mean, I just see it over and over again how so many animals just know when it's a child. Look at some of these horseback riding therapy sessions when a horse, a child who, again, is nonverbal, seems to be an incredible introvert, seems to have all kinds of, you know, psychological challenges, gets on top of a horse, and the horse reacts differently once that child is on top of it. Of course, you know, there are exceptions to that. There are crazy horses, just like there are crazy people. But when you have an animal that is able to react in a certain way, seems to be able to sense the need for a certain reaction, I think it's very, very moving. It's very, very profound.
Animals are way better than people, I think, on most days.
I tend to agree with you in many ways. I use animals. When you say how to use animals to teach, okay, I'm going to get into another. I'm going to say something now that's probably going to get another large portion of the audience going, oh, absolutely not, unacceptable, okay? And I'm going to give you a little scenario. If I watch a lioness, okay, with her cubs, and the cub does something wrong, what does the lioness do?
Send them to their room.
Time out.
Passive aggressively.
The lioness gives them a quick little swat. Okay?
Okay.
And the cub goes, oh, that's a negative reaction to that. The cub doesn't do it again. Now, you know, I raised my children and I'm very proud of my kids. They're both very successful. They're in their own professions now, doing very well, graduated with honors from universities. I never, ever, you know, beat my kids or anything like that. But when they were young, I gave them a swift little swat on the butt when they did something wrong, because I think that's what those butt muscles are for. Okay? I never hit my kids in the face or anywhere else, only on the butt. When they were small, 2-3 years old, they just, boom, real quick, negative reaction. And they would, oh, that would frighten them. And they realized it was instantaneous. You know, I really never have had a discipline problem with my kids. You know, this whole thing about trying to be your best friend with your 3 or 4-year-old, in my personal opinion, is ridiculous. Okay? We live in a society now where you can't do that because you're going to hurt their feelings. This whole belief about, you know, Little League, everybody gets a trophy. Listen, let me wake people up.
Participation trophies.
Life is not like that. Okay?
Yeah.
Life is not like that.
Yeah, it's funny because I was raised by, you know, I was never hit, struck, and I think
I got spanked, and the only reason I know this is because my dad told me this story. I could barely talk, but I got back from my grandfather's house. I got back from my grandfather's house, and my dad was like, hey, how was the trip to Papa Bear's? And I went, pop, pop, pank. Pop, pop, pank.
You got spanked. Yeah. And so, yeah, and I think Penn grew up in a house where he got a little pop here and there.
Hey, we did. Tell the story. We actually.
You. You.
Me.
You.
So Lola ran out into the middle of the street. She ran out into the middle of the cul-de-sac, right? So I grabbed her.
It was a busy street, and she was like 2.
Yeah, and publicly on the street, just I didn't want to, you know, I didn't know how long her memory was going to be. Like, I pulled her off to the side, I pulled her pants down, and I spanked her.
You pulled her pants down?
Oh, that's how you're supposed to spank people.
I didn't know you pulled her pants down. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I opened Pandora's box here. I'm so sorry.
Wait a second. Are you not supposed to pull her pants down?
No.
That's how.
No,
that's how.
That, you don't pull her pants down.
That's how Pop Pop got down. I definitely got my pants pulled down when I. Anyway, then I pulled him back up really quick, and she had this quivering lower lip, and she said, "We don't hit our friends."
And that was the end of that.
I'm your dad.
Real.
First.
Yeah. I know, but I. Oh my gosh, yeah, so that was really painful. That.
Yeah. So, So I definitely there was never that like, but I do have instead. We never. Oh my God, that's so gross that you like pulled down our pants.
That's how it was administered to me.
Okay.
Let's just move on.
So that was the one and only time. Yeah. I do have a very booming mom voice where I can, instead, I think the kids would rather get a pop on the butt than the mom voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, you could probably hear it in South Florida. Yeah.
You also recently gave our daughter the finger during a board game.
It was accidentally. She was being really condescending.
True
and
story.
In my family, we call it the I love you finger. So it was, she's 12. And she was being really condescending about the rules of Settlers of Catan. So I instinctively, by accident, gave her the finger.
Hey, Ron, while we're talking about girls, I don't know if you have a girl. I don't know if you've ever had one.
I do have a girl and a boy.
Okay, how old is your girl?
The girl was so much harder. Oh, my God.
How old is
the boy was born. I said, oh, we can have 5 of these. The girl was born. That was God's form of birth control.
Oh, my gosh. How old is the girl now?
She's 24. Going to be 24.
You lived through it. Okay.
So perfect. Lola is 12. She's a wonderful, precocious 12. She is, If anyone has seen me with my daughter, they know how deeply I love her. This is a new time in her life. She's developing into a young woman. And I got to tell you, I'm going back to animals here. When she met our new puppy, I've never seen her cry tears of joy before. I don't know if it was tears of joy or tears of relief. She has this relationship with the puppy. And then we had someone online. I know Kim's got her trolls, but we've also had some great supporters. And one person said, every teenager needs a puppy.
I actually said that.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. No, yeah.
There's no question about it. It's just something that happens. I think it teaches kids to be kind. It teaches them to understand, to be patient, and to understand. You know, it feels good for a child of that age, getting into the tween age, to feel that something depends on them, that they are providing something. You know, that it's not just them being, the dependent. They have something that depends on them. It gives them a sense of worth, of value, into caring for an animal like that.
And so can you give Penn some advice? He really daily is freaked out about the fact that our daughter's doing the very natural thing. It happens in every species that you raise them to kind of to leave. And he's freaking out that she's withdrawing a little bit and doing the very natural thing that is like, you know, she's would prefer to hang out with her friends. I mean, she loves hanging out with us.
Penn, let me tell you something.
Go ahead.
It's exactly what I went through. It's exactly what my wife went through. My wife would come into the bedroom sometimes crying. She goes, I love my daughter, but right now I just don't like her. And it was just one of these things that she felt so guilty saying that.
Yeah.
And it is part of this natural process. And trust me, it is a phase. This too shall pass. And you will, the day you walk her down that aisle, you are going to remember these times. And it is just going to overwhelm you, my friend. It is just one of those things that It all plays an important role in just making us all better people.
I'm sighing. Thank you, Ryan.
you have been a joy to talk to. Thank you so, so much for being here.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for the invitation, guys.
And where, so you talked about your TV show. Can you tell us where people can find it and where people can hear more?
It's only in Spanish, but it's on the HITN network, and it's on all the, you know, DirecTV, Dish TV, Comcast. It's
cool.
It's basically the Spanish PBS. But it's a neat show. It's like it's Wild Kingdom in Spanish is basically what it is.
That's awesome. And you, I know that you're from Cuba originally, right?
So his dad.
My father
was
from Cuba.
Your father.
Yes.
Okay. So that's a comfortable language, I would imagine, for you.
Where else can people find you?
Yes, they can find me. You know, just Google my name because I have Instagram. It's Ron McGill Conservation is my Instagram page, and I think they'll see some nice pictures of my travels around the world with wildlife there. And it's at Ron McGill Twitter or whatever. I don't keep up too much with the social media, but I check it on it. Check on it every now.
That's
and
why you're such a balanced person. Thank you.
And while you're Googling him, look up the story of how he got introduced to his wife. It's pretty interesting. So, like you got bit by a crocodile, right? Did I read that correctly?
I got bitten by a crocodile pretty badly, and I was, you know, young guy thinking, okay, and this is going to be the politically incorrect thing to say, but I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to have a beautiful nurse with that nice little white dress taking care of me. It's going to be every fantasy I've ever had as a young 20-something-year-old. Ended up my nurse was a guy. He wasn't very nice. It didn't work out the way I wanted to, but then I had to go down to physical therapy, and I remember walking into that physical therapy clinic, and oh my God, the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. And to make her short, long story short, I married her, and now I get physical therapy for free.
In Africa.
In Africa, there you go.
I'm gonna call you. It's gonna be late July, Ron, and I'm either gonna say, "Dang it, you were right," or
make some sort of weird
something
lying
else.
Noise.
Yeah, yeah, something else.
That's
is gonna
a great
happen.
Time to be there.
Well, thank you so, so much. I really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure, guys. Have a great day.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods
for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.